specialty sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Milligan. A lot of debate pitting the war on terrorism against American civil liberties, but in the end, it wasn't even close.
The yeas are 89, the nays are 10. The conference report is agreed to.
The revised Patriot Act has passed the United States Senate. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss says once expected House approval comes next week, it's off to the president for his signature.
Though some concessions were made to those worried about civil liberties, for the most part, the bill makes permanent the broad FBI powers passed after 9/11 to go after terrorists. It renews the two most controversial sections for 4 more years, letting agents secretly sweep up records from banks, internet companies, doctors, and even libraries, and making it a crime for those places to tell their customers their records have been searched.
The final vote in the Senate, 89 to 10. The highlight of President Bush's visit to India this week is a new nuclear agreement with the U.S., hammered out over 8 months. It's still drawing fire from critics who say the U.S. shouldn't be making side deals with a country that's rejected participation in the global nonproliferation treaty. But President Bush called the agreement an historic bridge.
I'm trying to think differently, not to stay stuck in the past, and recognize that by thinking differently, particularly on nuclear power, we can achieve some important objectives, one of which is less reliance on fossil fuels.
The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations justifies the agreement this way. New Delhi hasn't violated any nonproliferation rules simply because India hasn't signed any nonproliferation treaties. It's that sort of thinking that doesn't fly with Massachusetts Congressman Democrat Ed Markey.
As the details of this deal are understood, that this deal will be looked at as a national security disaster for our country.
In the rugged southwestern corner of Virginia lies the little town of Appalachia, population 2,000. A grand jury there has been looking into allegations of election fraud and today handed up a 269-count indictment charging the mayor, the town councilman, a couple of police officers with election fraud and corruption, including trading votes for smokes, pork rinds, and beer. Ever get the feeling the kids know the codes and watch what you have blocked when you are not? Sure you do. TiVo thinks it has a solution. Spend a little time with them, building a family-friendly menu so you don't have to block this and that. Tom Rogers is TiVo's vice president and CEO.
We allow the parent with a really easy one-stop shop set up to get all those programs delivered so they're always sitting there for the child when the child turns on the TV.
Rogers says the system launches in June. What goes up goes down. Stocks closed lower today, though only slightly, as investors worried about the strength of the economy and corporate profits. The Dow finished with a loss of 28 at 11,025. The NASDAQ was down 3.5 points, and the S&P 500 dropped 2 points. There were disappointing retail sales reports, many coming in under Wall Street predictions, and the price of oil climbed to a 3-week high. This is CBS News.
What? Come on.
Mammoth Car Insurance Company.
Yes, I was just on your website
for
trying
a quote,
to...
Please visit us online
no.
at www.
On Progressive Direct's website, you can talk to a person, not a recording. When you're getting a car insurance quote at Progressive.com, you can click on the Talk to Me button, and we'll call you right then to help finish your quote or answer your questions. So get a quote the easy way at Progressive.com. Available in most states and situations, Progressive Healthcare Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
In the game of life, your credit score can make all the difference in the world.
The Smith family is going for a home loan. The referees are reviewing their credit score.
Wouldn't you like to know your credit score before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and get your credit score and credit report online for free.
Upon further review, the loan is approved.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and triple advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
So who really tried to kill the Pope back in 81, beyond Aliaga? CBS News reporter Sabrina Castelfranco in Rome says, how about the Soviets?
An Italian parliamentary commission says its final report concludes beyond any reasonable doubt that the Soviet Union took the initiative to eliminate Pope John Paul II in 1981. It says this decision was relayed to the military secret services, who then proceeded to take on the needed operations to commit a crime of unique gravity. The Pope was shot in St. Peter's Square on May 13, 1981, as he waved at crowds from his open-top car.
So what's in a name? In so many words, California Superior Court Judge Peter Polis says don't ask him. 3 weeks ago, a jury ruled the names the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Anaheim asked Polis to restore it to Anaheim Angels. Polis today ruled he has no authority, so it stays the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I'm Lou Meliano, CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas at a major strip resort? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-9-FUN-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-9-FUN-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-9-FUN-NOW. Call now.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live up and down the left coast. 3:06 on this Thursday afternoon, and we dedicate our program today to our stellar board operator and newlywed James Pena and the new and lovely Mrs. Pena. And we've got a lot to talk about on the program today. Coming up in about a half hour, we'll talk with Josh Rubner. He's the grassroots advocacy coordinator with the U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation of Palestine. Lots to talk about there as Hamas is gaining power and ready to become more legitimate, but they have refused to repudiate their position toward Israel. Also on the program today, our regular visit from Scott Dick, who is our contributor on military and veterans affairs. We'll talk about a bunch of things, but included in the list is this new Zogby poll that shows that 72% of the troops serving in Iraq think those troops ought to be home by Christmas this year. And there's a lot more in the survey as well. Nearly 90% of the troops think they are there because of Saddam's connection to the attack on our country on 9/11. I guess they can only see Fox News in Iraq. That's all I can conclude. And in our 5 o'clock hour, wide open for the free speech zone, we'll be taking your calls. You can call before then, too. The number to use is 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast. Or call me toll-free from Eureka or elsewhere at 1-888-579-2540. And in the self-promotion department, before we start the show, I want to thank the Monterey County Weekly for featuring me on the cover and the cover story of this week's issue. So next time you're at a retail location where you can pick it up for free, do so. And I hope you enjoy the article. I think they did a great job on it. Also, effective today, you can hear recent broadcasts of the Peter B. Collins Show archived at whiterosesociety.org. For a minor subscription, you can log in there and hear any program over the past few weeks, and we'll be building those archives on a daily basis going forward. Every week, we make time to talk with Faz Shakir, our fact boy at the, boy's not right, factoid guy at the Center for American Progress. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. Faz, how are you? We're looking for Faz. Go ahead and bring him on to the... Okay, Faz, are you there? Well, apparently he took offense when I called him boy. James, let's try him back, see if you can reconnect. The lead story on the Progress Report today is about the Internet and about what is called net neutrality. And there are a number of moves underway that could change the dynamic
of the World Wide Web. And Ron Wyden, Democratic Senator from Oregon, is introducing today in the Senate the Internet Non-Discrimination Act of 2006, calling for a toll-free Internet and prohibiting network operators from charging companies for faster delivery of their content. Now, one of the things that they see going on is that those who have the bucks will use it to make sure that when you click on a link or click on an item at a search engine, that their information gets there faster than their competitors or faster than people who didn't pay for that expedited service. And that's just one of the ways that corporate America might change the dynamics of the Internet. Faz, are you with us now? Oh, we're still trying to get Faz. So this becomes, I think, a fascinating set of issues. And, for example, AOL and Yahoo talk about a postage measure. And do we have it? Okay, great. Faz, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
There's no sound.
Okay. Make sure that all three of those buttons are punched up, James. Okay, Faz, do you read me?
Peter?
There you are.
Can you hear me?
Great, yeah.
Oh, great.
Sorry for the glitches, but we are connected now. And I was filling people in on today's progress report regarding net neutrality and Senator Wyden's bill, which was introduced today, the Internet Non-Discrimination Act of 2006. Tell us a little bit about what this is in reaction to. What are the corporate leaders of the Internet trying to do to change its architecture and its dynamic?
Well, the corporate leaders are trying to do what most corporate leaders try to do, which is to make more money. And the way they're trying to do it is to disadvantage the people who have really empowered themselves over the last few years through the Internet. The way that they have created this program is to charge companies an extra quarter cent to bypass spam filters, and then the people who do not pay this extra quarter cent would then be caught up in spam filters, and it would create a system of haves and have-nots in the Internet.
As I'm sorry to report that apparently our minders at the NSA are scrambling your signal today. So we're going to go to a break here a little early, and we'll come right back so we have the full allotment of time with you. But we'll reconnect and see if we can get a little better routing past the NSA. That's Faz Shakir. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, and we will take our break and return with Faz in just a moment. If you have a question or comment about the Internet and about net neutrality, you can join us, 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and so's the National Security Agency. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
It's 3:17. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and we think we've got the gremlins out of our system. Faz Shakir with us, loud and clear from the Center for American Progress, and I encourage you to sign up to receive the Progress Report free in your email every day. Just log on to progressreport.org. Faz, welcome back.
Hey, Peter, can you hear me?
Oh, you sound like you're right next door.
I was talking and I kept hearing this machine and filtering me. I was like, I hope Peter can hear me, but apparently you couldn't.
We were getting some strange harmonic distortions, and we've actually nicknamed our minder at the NSA. We call him Benny. And I just imagine some poor guy is stuffed in a cubicle somewhere with headsets on, and he is forced to monitor the Peter B. Collins Show all day, every day.
Yeah, I have my own NSA tracker who's also, you know, he follows me wherever I go as well, so maybe they're working together on this project.
Have you given him a pet name?
No, not yet, but maybe I should.
You need to personalize the relationship, Faz. It helps. Now, let's get back to net neutrality, and we were starting to describe Senator Ron Wyden's proposal called the Internet Non-Discrimination Act of 2006. And this is interesting because AOL and Yahoo now have certified mail, which is a premium service that people could use to get past all the spam that piles up. But also commercial users can use it to send a new level of premium spam. Am I understanding this correctly?
That's right. And what they're trying to do now is, of course, we live in a capitalist system where the profit makers are trying to make even more profit. So the new system that they've devised is that they will charge a quarter cent for each message for companies that want to send out spam emails. And to avoid the spam filter, each company would then pay a quarter cent for each email that it sends. And the problem with this, of course, is that those who can't afford it won't pay the money, and they'll be stuck in the system of the have-nots while the haves continue to get ahead.
Well, and I see two angles on this. For AOL, it's an insult to the people who are paying $24 a month for the Internet with training wheels. to be then subjected to this premium service where spam can get past the filters, and the sender will be guaranteed that unsuspecting subscribers will receive it. Now, at Yahoo, it's a little different because that is a free service to the end user. And so, to me, I kind of would be more willing to accept this arrangement from Yahoo than I would from AOL.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with regards to AOL. You know, this proposal is apparently going to go into effect in 30 days with regards to AOL, and the people who are trying to purchase this service and not get spam will be receiving spam just because a corporation has paid for it. I think what the problem is here is if you're looking down the road and you're looking at people who are trying to innovate and create new ideas and disseminate those ideas over the internet, it's going to be a lot harder for them nowadays because they're going to face an uphill climb. You know, the Google CEO, I believe, spoke out and said that this would be very difficult. This system would be very difficult for them to operate in if it were to exist when they were first created.
And I just want to give people an example from my own junk mail box. I've got 84 messages in there right now. PayPal security, they're after me every day. I don't even have a PayPal account. Meds refill, order Cialis. Yeah, I want to have that 14-day erection. Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts, I guess that's a poll. And then all of these heartfelt inquiries from around the world. Today it's Mr. Peter Stevens, who is offering to dump millions of dollars into my bank account if I'll just send him the information. And then there's the one that comes through entirely in Russian, using Cyrillic characters. And I have no idea what it means. The other one I love is the one that's all question marks. That's all, you know, the address is question marks, you go to the message, it's all question marks. It's like, okay, what do you want me to do with this?
Well, it's another issue that we didn't really talk about today, but related to what you're talking about, is for the poor people who do end up responding to this, is the data privacy issue. They're now, you know, being bombarded with emails that they shouldn't be responding to, and if they do happen to respond, all of their information is just given away, including their credit card numbers, their name, their email address, which will be confirmed, and other information.
Also, if you respond to the wrong one, they can infer your penis size.
And nobody wants to be giving away that information.
Right. Now, James, our newlywed board operator, just sent me a link to Spamusement, poorly drawn cartoons inspired by actual spam subject lines. Well, I'll get to that later. That one looks interesting. Now, on a more serious note, what other issues related to the management of the Internet are currently in play that would be disadvantageous to average Internet users, Faz?
Well, I think that for small businesses, this is going to be a very difficult issue with how they're going to try to remain competitive and trying to disseminate their ideas against larger corporations. The MoveOn has now got a campaign going to try to combat this new use of what's called good mail. I think another thing that might be interesting to you is now the gun owners of America have also threatened its members that its members will leave AOL if the new fee materializes. So I think that this is going to be an interesting issue where we see people from the left and people from the right, all of whom are active online, who realize that it needs to be a very competitive marketplace where one isn't advantaged over another and it's just a battle of ideas. They're all uniting now. RightMarch.com, Defenders of Wildlife are out there as well. So I think this could be a big, big issue for the online community.
Mm-hmm. The gun owners have threatened that its members will leave AOL. Wow, that's a threat they should take seriously. After all, those people are armed.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, Faz, turning to yesterday's big story, the videotapes that were broadcast showing that President Bush was briefed on the true potential of Hurricane Katrina to overflow the levees, maybe even breach the levees in New Orleans. He asked no questions during that conference, video conference, and then just pronounced that we're all set and everything's in place. You got nothing to worry about. Followed up, of course, by the clip from his interview three days later, where he said nobody expected that the levees would be breached. And what really appalled me was that an ABC reporter put those two clips together yesterday, and then his summation was the apparent contradiction of the president's statements. Now, what's the difference between an apparent contradiction and a lie?
A lie, right. Yeah, I think that that's the story coming out of this, is that the president straight up lied about what he knew and what were the dangerous consequences that he was warned about. In fact, we saw on the briefing that the hurricane officials were telling him that that there could be a possible breach of the levees, that the levees could overtop and it could flood the city, and that they weren't prepared for the Superdome disaster that resulted. They weren't prepared for the evacuees. And so he was warned about all of the wide-ranging consequences, and his response, as you said, was no questions and thank you for the information. Moved right on.
Mm-hmm. And it does appear to be really striking the public in a way that perhaps the Bush administration hadn't predicted. But they're reeling on almost a daily basis. The Cheney shooting, the port controversy, and now the flap over this videotape. It's no wonder the president decided it was time to go to India, Pakistan, and make a surprise visit to Afghanistan.
Right, and the polls are reflecting that. You saw earlier this week the CBS poll had him at 34% approval. Two new polls came out today, Fox News and CNN. Both of them had Bush under 40%. I think one was at 39, another was at 38. So I think that the general message here is the American people have lost faith in their government. Mm-hmm. And the Bush administration doesn't seem to be doing anything to correct that problem.
Fazan, this is not in the progress report today, and to the extent this is a inside the Beltway curveball, deal with it as you like. But I was reading last night online at the website Capitol Hill Blue, and Doug Thompson is the proprietor of that website. And he published an item last week saying that based on confidential interviews with people who read reports from the Secret Service agents who were at the ranch with Cheney on the hunting trip, said that everybody was drinking, and specifically that the vice president was considerably inebriated at the time of the accident when he peppered Harry Whittington. What is the credibility, in your view, of Capitol Hill Blue, and have you seen any other substantiation of these allegations?
Yeah, quite honestly, we don't give a lot of credibility to Capitol Hill Blue around here. I think that on the online community, they tend to see them as a bit of a rumor monger. That's not to say that the story that he's reporting is completely false. In fact, we've been following up on that, and we have reported that eyewitnesses have said that Cheney, in fact, has said, I was drinking beforehand. He had a beer. And then we also know from the Armstrongs that he had, quote, a cocktail afterwards. So it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that he was drunk, and that's been the, kind of one of the hypotheticals that has been tossed about quite a bit, but I'm not sure that the Capitol Hill Blue source is quite reliable.
Mm-hmm. Understood. And I treat it somewhat skeptically myself. At the same time, if you go to the website, Thompson wrote a second piece where he said, you know, people have accused him of making that up. And he said that, unfortunately, this Bush administration is so rich with material that there isn't much opportunity to make stuff up because the truth is too outstanding. That said, I can't prove what he has alleged, and yet it is consistent with the behavior of the vice president, the failure to allow the sheriff's deputies onto the ranch on Saturday night, and essentially, you know, treating the episode in ways similar to the way Teddy Kennedy acted at Chappaquiddick.
Certainly, and the way that the Bush administration conducts itself, even with the Dubai ports deal now and a number of other issues, is that secrecy is their modus operandi, and generally when they have something to hide, there's bad news to be found. And so, of course, they're trying to bury the story about the Cheney hunting accident, and he hasn't even come forward and apologized for it. So, of course, there are going to be people out there who are going to try to fill in the gaps for them if they don't come forward and tell the truth and tell the whole story.
Yeah, very well put. Faz, thanks for your work. Thanks for putting up with our glitches today, and we'll talk to you next week.
No, thank you, Peter.
Faz Shakir, Center for American Progress, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. Log on, get it in your email, progressreport.org. Coming up next, we'll talk about the tiff between Israel and Palestine with Josh Rubner from the U.S. Campaign to End the Israeli Occupation. That's next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Present a new show entitled Safe Money in Retirement Talk.
hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets radio network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Certified estate planner Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is issuing a special invitation to her upcoming valuable seminars for seniors and their families. Michelle Ashen is your source for critical information like how to avoid nursing home costs, how to reduce or eliminate taxes on unearned income and at death, whether long-term care insurance is worth it. Michelle Ashen will also teach you how you can increase disposable income, invest in the stock market without risk of capital loss, avoid probate costs and delays, use the new multi-generation Stretch IRA to avoid unnecessary taxation. Michelle Ashen addresses the rights of all seniors and reveals little-known information that can save you thousands. For information regarding Michelle's next seminar, including date, time, and place, or to schedule a free personal consultation, call 641-0236, 641-0236. Remember, knowledge is power, so reserve your seat today, 831-641-0236. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Coming up next hour, Scott Dick joins us. He's our regular contributor on military and veterans affairs. That astounding new Zogby survey of American troops in Iraq, 72% say they ought to be pulled out by Christmas. There are other stunning items in the survey, and we'll air it out coming up next hour. As always, you can call the program whenever the urge strikes you, 831-899-5792 from the Central Coast, or toll free at 1-888-579-2540. Joining me now is Josh Rubner. He is the Grassroots Advocacy Coordinator with the U.S. Campaign to End the Israeli Occupation. That's a national coalition working to change American policy toward Israel-Palestine to support human rights and international law. He's worked as a Middle East analyst for a Congressional Research Service, and he joins us this afternoon. Josh Rubner, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks so much for having me on, Peter.
My pleasure. It's the first time we've talked, so let me just lay out a couple of points to begin with. I consider myself fairly even-handed on the issues related to Israel and Palestine. I believe that each entity has a right to exist and to be recognized by the other, and that each side should be free of occupation and from terrorism imposed by the other. That said, I am increasingly troubled by the posture of the Bush administration in backing some of the moves that I consider to be preemptive on the part of acting Prime Minister Olmert in Israel, and in particular the unilateral move to withhold the distribution of Palestinian tax monies. And to be clear, these are monies that were earned and paid into taxes to Israel by Palestinians, and they are due their money. But Israel is unilaterally cutting off the exchange or the transfer of those funds, and I find that troubling. Likewise, Israel has taken steps to declare that Abu Mazen is irrelevant And they seem to be setting the stage for an early confrontation with Ismail Haniyeh. Haniyeh, is that how we say it? Haniyeh?
That's correct.
Who is the ascending prime minister of the Palestinian people. So with that as an opener, tell me where things stand from your point of view today. And if you have the same concerns about what I described as preemptive actions by Israel.
Absolutely, Peter. We saw the first installation of this unilateral Israeli approach in its withdrawal from the Gaza Strip last year. And Ehud Olmert, the acting prime minister, has also made clear his intention that he wants to take unilateral steps in the West Bank. All of this, Israel is trying to basically set the conditions for unilaterally creating a Palestinian mini-state on the Gaza Strip and pieces of the West Bank. And what we've been discussing in terms of semantics is that this is not actually a state. This is more of a Bantustan that Israel is setting up by creating this 30-foot high wall and placing Palestinians in an open-air prison behind these walls. Hamas's electoral victory in the Palestinian Legislative Council has basically set the stage and provided Israel with a pretext for continuing in these unilateral type of measures.
And we see the irony or the contradictory nature of the pronouncements of the Bush administration promoting freedom and democracy in the Middle East. And it is democracy that has produced Hamas as an active participant in the government of the Palestinian territories for the first time. And I certainly understand the concerns that many pro-Israeli individuals have about Hamas and what its intentions are. But we have to live with the product of this election. And after all, I do believe that the Palestinian Authority sent signals to the U.S. and that Mahmoud Abbas was willing to postpone these elections. And we said, oh, no, go forward.
Right. And I think what's especially unfair is to isolate and punish the Palestinian people for conducting a free and fair election, even if the outcome is not to the liking of the United States or to Israel. Already the United States, the Bush administration, has demanded and the Palestinian Authority has agreed to give back $50 million of assistance that the United States had formerly given over to the Palestinian Authority for much-needed infrastructure projects. So this was a demand that was made on Abu Mazen, who had to comply with it. And members of Congress are now talking about taking much more drastic, much more punishing economic and diplomatic steps against the Palestinian people for voting. We already have a ban on providing direct assistance to the Palestinian Authority. Members of Congress are not only reiterating this ban, but they're also calling for placing humanitarian aid in the same category, meaning cutting off or restricting it. They're talking about designating. We already have a ban on providing direct assistance to the Palestinian Authority. Members of Congress are not only reiterating this ban, but they're also calling for placing humanitarian aid in the same category, meaning cutting off or restricting it. They're talking about designating Palestinian territory as a quote-unquote terrorist sanctuary, which would greatly hinder U.S. exports to Palestinians. And they're talking about cutting off the ability of Palestinians to conduct diplomacy in the United States by shutting down the PLO office in Washington, which is completely an overreach because the PLO has nothing to do with Hamas. Hamas has never been a part of the PLO. And also demanding that U.S. delegates to the World Bank vote against any money going to the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm. So I could understand these kinds of moves if, but as they try to enter the political process, and this is something that they have been encouraged to do by the U.S., it seems to be sending them mixed messages to be cutting off these streams of revenue before, as I say, they've had the opportunity to earn some sort of sanction.
Right, and one of Israel's top...
With these moves that have been made by Israel with at least the tacit approval of the U.S.
Well, I don't think that Hamas and the incoming Palestinian Authority government have much wiggle room at all, as you mentioned before. I think the policies that are being pursued by the United States with Israel's backing is, if not designed to, could at least lead to the possibility of Hamas turning to Syria for more support, turning to Iran for more support, which is, you know, probably not, in most Palestinian eyes, probably not the best way forward to advance Palestinian nationalism and Palestinian national goals.
And there's a pattern here that troubles me, Josh, and that is that the U.S. and Israel, over the past couple of years, have made these statements about whom they consider relevant and whom they consider irrelevant in the Palestinian leadership. And they did it in an attempt to isolate Arafat before he died, and they had some success with that. But in tagging Abbas as someone that the West, that the U.S. and Israel can deal with, do we not undermine almost immediately whatever credibility he has with his Palestinian constituents?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, in fact, the Israeli foreign minister, Tzipi Livni, came out a couple days ago and said that the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, is now irrelevant, using the same language that was used to delegitimize and sideline Yasser Arafat in his last few years of life. And I think, again, it fits into Israel's plan for unilateral steps. It makes it much easier for Israel to justify its unilateral steps when it says that, you know, we have no partner, or the partners that we do have are irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Josh Rubner. He's the grassroots advocacy coordinator with the U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation. Josh, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, I want you to describe for us H.R. 4681, the Palestinian Anti-Terrorism Act of 2006. What's good about it, what's bad about it, and why you're opposing it. We'll pick up there in a moment. If you have a question or comment about the situation, Israel-Palestine, give us a call. Central Coast number is a local call at 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. Or you can call me toll-free from Eureka or elsewhere. 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. It's 344, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Educational toys and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
You're invited to tune in to Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. You won't want to miss the show on Whose Body Is It Anyway? Whose Body Is It Anyway is the title of Joan's acclaimed book, published by Newmarket Press and available on Amazon and other internet bookstores. You'll hear Joan and her guests explore smart, alternative, and traditional health choices for your total well-being. The idea is to stay healthy as long as you can, knowing as much as you can. Both men and women will want to hear about the medical controversy and confusion you're faced with day in and day out. You'll hear the real story behind some of the headlines that often lead you to dangerous health conclusions. Joan will cover what doctors you can trust, the latest in the hormone therapy media misinformation mess, and what you may not know about breast cancer treatments. Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman.
The damage that this administration has done in just 5 years is mind-boggling.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
As a bit of a student of history, I don't think that we have ever had an administration that has done so much harm to the United States of America as this administration, as the Bush administration, to our reputation abroad, to our body politic at home. I mean, it is absolutely mind-boggling.
Tom Hartman, live every morning 9 to noon on KRXA 540, the new Radio Free America.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on this Thursday afternoon in between the storms. We continue with Josh Rubner, grassroots advocacy coordinator with the U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation. If you have a question or comment, there's room for you to join us at 831-899-5792 or toll free at 888-579-2540. In a moment, we'll talk about pending legislation in Washington. But Josh Rubner, I pulled the quote here from Zippy Livni, the foreign secretary of Israel. And she was referring to Mahmoud Abbas, also known as Abu Mazen, saying, "He cannot serve as the pretty face of ugly terrorism which is hiding behind him. I think it will be a mistake to take comfort in the arms of Abu Mazen as the sole legitimate figure," she said. "The ball is in the Palestinian court now, and the future Hamas government has to do something with it, and Abu Mazen in this context is no longer relevant." Now, I find this to be stunning, that Israel has the temerity, the chutzpah, to try to dictate to the Palestinians who is legitimate and who is not.
Well, that's part of a long process that goes back decades. Israel has sort of put itself in this position because it was Israel that was demanding to have an empowered Palestinian prime minister, a position which is nowhere to be found within the Oslo Accords, which set up the Palestinian Authority, originally to counterbalance Yasser Arafat, who was declared to be irrelevant because Israel didn't want to deal with him. So now that this empowered position of prime minister has been created and the Hamas has won control of the PLC, Israel, they have to deal with having this government in place one way or another. It's a fallacy on everyone's part to think that Israel and the Palestinian Authority can't have any type of contact whatsoever. I mean, there has to be joint coordination on border issues with Gaza. There has to be joint coordination on things as mundane as electricity and telephone and so forth in terms of infrastructure that's shared. So there is going to have to be some type of modus vivendi worked out between the two sides, whether each wants to do that or not.
Mm-hmm. And I'm reading here from the New York Times, February 26th. Israel says that before there can be any possibility of dialogue, Hamas must recognize Israel, disavow terrorism, and accept previously signed agreements between Israel and the Palestinians. Is that achievable in your view?
I don't know if it's realistic, but I don't think that adhering to previous agreements only goes one way. It has to go both ways. And Israel has violated its commitments under signed agreements on numerous occasions. And after 10 years or more of a so-called peace process, Palestinians today find themselves with more Israeli settlements in their midst, with less freedom of movement, with more solidified occupation, and now this illegal wall that has been built in the West Bank, which was declared to be illegal by the International Court of Justice last year. So it's not just that one side has obligations. And in terms of the demand that Hamas recognize Israel and its rights, I think that Israel has to be held account as well. And someone needs to throw down the gauntlet and tell Israel that it also needs to recognize Palestinian human and national rights as well, because mm-hmm. it has not done so far.
And Haniyeh quoted in the New York Times from a story in the Washington Post where they admitted they had some translation problems, just to be clear. It's written up this way, but he also seemed to hint that Hamas might go a bit further. If Israel withdraws to the 67 borders, then we will establish a peace in stages. If Israel declares that it will give the Palestinian people a state and give them back all their rights, then we are ready to recognize them. Now, I realize that he set a high bar there, but he is acknowledging that they are prepared to recognize Israel, at least if certain terms are met. Is that not progress?
I think it is progress, absolutely. And what it reminds me of is in the mid-1980s when there was this sort of triangular dance between the PLO, Israel, and the United States over what exactly specific language the PLO would have to say in order to get off the U.S. terrorism list and to open a dialogue with the United States. And, it could be that we're seeing a similar process now. I think it's too early to say whether or not the PA under Hamas will be viable, or if Israel and the United States will starve it of all funds and make it collapse.
Now let's go to Washington, where there is a bill pending in the House, H.R. 4681, the Palestinian Anti-Terrorism Act of 2006. What is the gist of this bill, Josh Rubner?
The gist of it is to set up a very comprehensive and very subjective and ambiguous reporting process. And in this bill, Palestinians would have to fulfill a number of conditions before aid to the Palestinian Authority from the United States could be considered. And as I mentioned before, this is pretty much a superfluous resolution, because direct aid to the Palestinian Authority is already banned under U.S. law. But what's very troubling about this resolution is that it goes way beyond this ban on direct money to the Palestinian Authority. It would also severely restrict, basically put into the same category as funding to the Palestinian Authority, any humanitarian assistance programs, which are run by the United States government, contracted to U.S. non-governmental organizations, and they have in place a number of vetting procedures to ensure that no amount of U.S. humanitarian aid is diverted to non-humanitarian purposes. So that's being threatened to be cut off, and I came from a hearing on Capitol Hill this morning of the House International Relations Committee, and several members of Congress openly advocated for completely doing away with any humanitarian aid to the Palestinian people. And I feel that we as a country really owe the Palestinian people humanitarian aid, not just because they need it, but because it's our very support for Israel's military occupation of these Palestinian territories that has created the economic hardships and suffering that Palestinians are forced to live under.
And I would add that, over the last 15 years, we have given substantial foreign aid to Egypt on the tune of $2 billion a year, about the same amount to Israel. And so to cherry pick the Palestinians and say, well, we're not going to give you any money, does send the kind of message the president was trying to contort in the Dubai ports debacle, the controversy over that.
Right.
So I just think that, we are being very selective. Do you care to name the members of Congress who called to cut off all aid to the Palestinians?
The main driving force behind this resolution is Tom Lantos, a Democrat from the Bay Area, and Ileana Rosletinen, who represents Florida. They were the two who co-introduced this resolution, and it now has 87 co-sponsors as of yesterday.
I know Tom Lantos, and he can be lucid and he can be rational, but not on issues related to Israel.
Exactly. But this
it's sad to see him in the Democratic Party on these days.
Yeah, this particular resolution would do far much more damage than just restrict humanitarian aid, even though that would be a disaster in and of itself. It would also, as I mentioned before, force the U.S. to veto any funding for the Palestinians through the World Bank. And right now the World Bank is heavily involved in the reconstruction of Gaza after Israel left it in a complete mess. And it would basically deny the ability of Palestinians to help get their houses rebuilt in the Gaza Strip after Israel demolished thousands of them over the last few years.
Now, Josh, if we zoom out to the big picture here, I see the same elements of foreign policy that have been embraced by a bipartisan American cabal over the years that have ended up keeping Castro in power in Cuba. Because in our ham-handed efforts to isolate him and sanction him and punish him, we have given him the very elements that have kept him in power. And likewise, as we take these steps, we are forcing the Palestinians with the ascending Hamas constituency into the arms of Iran and other Arab and Islamic nations, which will continue the polarization in that part of the world.
Absolutely. And you know, it's imperative that the international community and the United States really force upon Israel a withdrawal from all of the territories that it occupied in 1967, because there's a very, very small window of opportunity left, if there's an opportunity at all for a viable two-state solution to this conflict. Mm-hmm. The fact that Israel is continuing to build this illegal wall in the West Bank and will be done with it within the next year or so, they're betting that the construction of this wall will facilitate the creation of these Bantustan Palestinian states in the West Bank and Gaza, and basically get the Palestinian population out of their hair for a couple generations. And
Josh, we're out of time. Thank you for your advocacy, and thanks for your report today. Josh Rubner in Washington. I'm Peter B. Collins.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
U.S. intelligence believes that Al-Qaeda is planning
a spectacular terrorist attack somewhere in Iraq.
In India, the president announces a nuclear deal.
It's one that'll help both our peoples.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Dave Barrett. On a day when more than three dozen people died across Iraq and an American soldier was killed in combat in Anbar province, there's word that trouble could intensify. National security correspondent David Martin has the story.
U.S. officials tell the CBS News that U.S. intelligence has picked up reports that Al-Qaeda in Iraq is planning what one source calls the Big Bang, a spectacular terrorist attack somewhere in Iraq against either a single high-profile target or multiple targets simultaneously. Pentagon officials are also worried that a terrorist spectacular will undermine administration claims about progress in Iraq and therefore weaken public support for the war here at home.
With violence continuing in Iraq, a daytime curfew will be imposed tomorrow. It'll affect private vehicles in Baghdad and surrounding areas. Now this.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
Professor, this is Mary.
Hi, I wanted to find out about adding minutes to my phone.
Okay, what would you like to know?
OnStar Hands-Free Calling is a voice-activated calling feature built into OnStar-equipped vehicles that allows subscribers to make and receive calls while keeping their hands on the wheel and eyes on the road.
Can I go ahead and add the 250 minutes?
You can always go higher now.
Hey, girlfriend, I'm already addicted to this thing.
There are no additional access fees, roaming, or long-distance charges.
Thank you for holding those units for download successfully. Just tell all your friends how they can do our OnStar.
I definitely will. Thank you so much.
No problem. Is there anything else I can do for you?
Nope, that's it. So you have a good night.
You have a great evening, and thank you for using OnStar.
You'll find OnStar on over 50 GM vehicles. OnStar by GM. To purchase hands-free calling minutes or learn more about this service, push your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar hands-free calling is not available in certain markets.
India could use more nuclear power to push its growing economy and to be less dependent on imported oil and coal. The U.S. has wanted some oversight of India's nuclear program.
By thinking differently, particularly on nuclear power, we can achieve some important objectives.
In India, the president says he's got an agreement.
I'm Mark Knoller in New Delhi. The deal took 8 months to negotiate. It means that for the first time in 30 years, India will allow its civilian nuclear power program to be subject to international safeguards and monitoring. In exchange, President Bush will ask Congress to change the law that forbids nuclear assistance to India because it hasn't signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. The nuclear deal with India requires congressional approval, and there's already opposition.
The agreement which President Bush announced today is an historic disaster.
Massachusetts Democrat Ed Markey says it undercuts decades of efforts to stop nuclear proliferation by helping India with nuclear power while it continues to build more nuclear bombs. He says other nations will look at this and think they should be able to do it too.
A suicide car bombing today close to the U.S. consulate in Karachi, Pakistan. David Foy, an American diplomat from North Carolina, was one of four people killed. The car got to within 65 feet of the consulate gate when it blew up. 52 others in the area were hurt. Following the attack, President Bush said,
"Terrorists and killers are not going to prevent me from going to Pakistan."
Renewing provisions of the Patriot Act for four more years.
The yeas are 89, the nays are 10. The conference report is agreed to.
The Senate did okay the measure, which would allow broad secret searches of business records, records kept at libraries and at hospitals, all as a way of tracking possible terrorists in this country.
It works. It does not invade the privacy of individuals. And thank goodness today we are seeing the wisdom of the Senate prevail in the right way.
But Georgia Republican Saxie Chambliss would get an argument from Wisconsin Democrat Russ Feingold.
We cannot and need not sacrifice our citizens' basic liberties in that fight.
House approval and the president's signature are still required to extend the Patriot Act. A former nurse claimed to have murdered up to 40 people while working in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania. Charles Cullen faced victims' family members today at his sentencing in Somerville, New Jersey.
You are not even to be referred to as Charles. You are Satan's son.
Deborah Yetter, Medina's grandmother, was killed by Cullen. He made no statement in court today and then received a sentence of 11 consecutive life prison terms. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
What? Come on.
Mammoth Car Insurance Company.
Yes, I was just on your website
for
trying
a quote,
to...
Please visit us online at
On Progressive Direct's website, you can talk to a person, not a recording. When you're getting a car insurance quote at Progressive.com, you can click on the Talk to Me button, and we'll call you right then to help finish your quote or answer your questions. So get a quote the easy way at Progressive.com. Available in most states and situations. Progressive Healthcare Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
Get the good stuff.
Hey, this is Michael Waltrip, driver of the number 55 Napa race car. A lot of people don't know this about me, but I'm quite a hat collector. That's why Napa is helping me collect as many hats as I can, starting with yours. Just bring any old hat into your local Napa Auto Parts store and swap it for a brand new Napa racing hat. The same hat me and my race team wear at the track. Bring in your old hat today and drive home looking like a winner. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
It's 4:06 now as we kick off another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show today. If you're listening in the Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz area, I want to direct your attention to the Monterey County Weekly this week. They had the poor judgment to put yours truly on the cover story. And a fellow named Paul Kilduff wrote the article. I think it's factual. You can decide if it's interesting.
If you know what I mean.
If you know what I mean. Also, effective today, if you would like to access recent broadcasts of the Peter B. Collins Show, archives are now available at whiterosesociety.org. And for as little as a dollar a month, you can subscribe there and have access to our programs. If you can kick in $5 a month, it'll keep Ben and the White Rose Society website up. But it's a wonderful service, and I'm glad to be able to offer that to you. And we are upgrading the website at peterbcollins.com, and in the coming weeks we will start to post the daily list of guests. And that way you can say, oh, I didn't hear Faz Shakir, and go to the appropriate archive to find that show. So we're going to try to make that as navigable as possible. Scott Dick was in the Marines and then retired from the Army as a major, and he's settled in the Monterey area. He's the host of our Tasty Planet show on the weekends on KRXA, and he is the official unpaid contributor on military and veterans affairs here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Sorry about the unpaid part, Scott.
That's okay. I'm used to it.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, first up today, we have the results of a survey conducted by Zogby International of U.S. troops in Iraq. And some of the findings are fascinating and some are just incredible. So let's work through these, Scott. The lead number is that an overwhelming majority of 72% of American troops serving in Iraq think the U.S. should exit the country within the next year.
Right.
That, well, that says a lot about the attitudes of our troops.
Well, that's not the most important. I don't. Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
What is, I think, more important or just as important, Peter, it's not that I'm arguing with you or anything, mm-hmm. it's that 29% think we should withdraw immediately. That's almost one-third.
Yeah.
And another 22% said we should get out in 6 months. So if you put that two together, that's well over 50% that say, you know, our days are numbered there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking summer now.
Now, as you interpret these numbers, does this address morale? Does this address the policy? Does this reflect the fact that what Jack Murtha cited, that our troops are now a target and an irritant, not peacekeepers or friendly occupiers?
Well, I think it addresses a couple of things. One is that 58% said the reason for the U.S. mission was clear. That left 42% that had no idea why they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also something that's not obvious in that you have to dig way down and deep in the poll. 20% of those polled had been there once. I'm going to get this right. 20% had been there once, 20% had been there twice, and the rest of them had been there three times.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about a lot of fatigue, not knowing what the mission is, and seeing this sort of this disconnect between what the administration is saying. It's a Al-Qaeda, you know, terrorist kind of cell kind of thing. And they believe, 85% of them or so, I don't have the exact number in front of me, believe that it's actually homegrown insurgency. So the more they stay there, the worse it's going to get. And if you look at the statistics, the DOD put out a chart. It's the attacks on American troops has increased and increased and increased. So every time they've said, you know, it's starting to go down, we're starting to win the fight, the number of attacks on American
turned U.S. troops against the Iraqi population, the survey shows, more than 80% say they did not hold a negative view of Iraqis because of those attacks. About 2 in 5 see the insurgency as being comprised of discontented Sunnis with very few non-Iraqi helpers. There appears to be confusion on this, Zogby said, but he noted less than a third think that if non-Iraqi terrorists could be prevented from crossing the border into Iraq, the insurgency would end. A majority of troops, 53%, said the U.S. should double both the number of troops and bomber.
MOS, military occupational specialty misuse, that's the mechanics who are doing combat duty, artillery guys who are walking patrols, that kind of thing, where they never signed up to go, you know, they signed up to go to artillery for a reason, and all of a sudden they're walking foot patrols like they're grunts.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of these things together, plus the fact that they didn't tell the hierarchy that they're going to pull these troops. And even though it was scientific, it didn't allow the Department of Defense to sort of bring out the showcase soldiers and present them to people who are taking the tolls. Even the Army Times has found that, and when their readers are career-minded military. The Army Times has found that there's a big loss of support for the war in Iraq by readers of the magazine. So, of course, that's not scientific, but these are career troops. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, what are we doing here, basically?
Here's another cite from the Zogby poll. The troops in Iraq, who they polled, have drawn different conclusions about fellow citizens back home. Asked why they think some Americans favor rapid U.S. troop withdrawal from Iraq, 37% serving said those Americans are unpatriotic, while 20% believe the people back home don't believe a continued occupation will work, and another 16% said they believe those favoring a quick withdrawal do so because they oppose the use of the military in a preemptive war. Then another 15% say they don't believe that the Americans who want a quick withdrawal understand the need for U.S. troops in Iraq. But 37% say that people like me are unpatriotic. That number is actually pretty low, in my estimation.
It is, for the amount of indoctrination that our troops go through, and the fact that they're not getting any kind of news, to answer your question before, they're not getting any kind of news that doesn't sort of parrot the administration party line. So we finally got Schultz. I say we because, you know, I helped push for it. You know, mm-hmm. I just called up DOD and said, hey, put Schultz on. So they did.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm channeling somebody else here. Or they're not getting any kind of news that doesn't sort of parrot the administration party line. So we finally got Schultz. I say we because, you know, I helped push for it. You know, mm-hmm. I just called up DOD and said, hey, put Schultz on. So they did.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm channeling somebody else here. And so Schultz gets on, but he's one of many others. I mean, the Limbaugh's on. I think Hannity's on. They have Fox Networks. I'm sure they're feeds into the AFRTS, the Armed Forces Radio and Television Network. So he's just one little voice. And it's easy for, if you know, you hear three people saying something, then it must be true if they're in the media.
Now, when we return...
I just called up DOD and said, hey, put Schultz on. So they did.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm channeling somebody else here. And so Schultz gets on, but he's one of many others. I mean, the Limbaugh's on. I think Hannity's on. They have Fox Networks. I'm sure they're feeds into the AFRTS, the Armed Forces Radio and Television Network. So he's just one little voice. And it's easy for, if you know, you hear three people saying something, then it must be true if they're in the media.
Now, when we return, we'll talk about the stunning part of this survey that showed that almost 90% think that the war is retaliation for Saddam's role in 9/11. Now, that suggests those 90% watch the Fox News Channel exclusively, Scott.
It does indeed.
We'll pick up there in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, Scott Dick is with us this entire hour. We're happy to discuss military and veterans issues. 831-899, 52%. Think that the U.S. should exit the country within the next year. And as Scott pointed out, 29% say that the U.S. should leave Iraq immediately. Another 22% say in the next 6 months. So that's kind of interesting because, you know, Scott, what Jack Murtha said in...
I think troops that are reading, who are getting the flow of information back from the United States, realize that this is a task taking democracy to Iraq versus punishing them for participating in the 9/11 attacks that we may not get to. You know, we may not instill democracy in Iraq, and I think maybe after 3 years the troops may be coming around to see that point of view.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, the thing that one hopes for is that the happy talk of the Bush administration, his optimism, he keeps reiterating that in the face of you know, very negative news. The events since the bombing of the Golden Mosque in Samarra have certainly conveyed to the world that Iraq is in a civil war or on the brink of a broad-scale civil war. And yet the president says he's got a strategy for victory, which he never defines. And he just keeps talking like a cheerleader. And to me, it is somewhat comforting that the troops, despite the bubble they're in and the limited media they have access to, aren't buying what the president is selling.
No, it's true. And I find it interesting, Peter, that he...
I'm talking about reenlisting.
Reenlistment.
Yeah, right.
Well, my take on it is, are those $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 reenlistment bonuses that are tax-free if you enlist in a war zone.
Okay.
And I think that's a critical draw for people because... you know, a lot of troops are short-sighted, and they realize that when you enlist, a lot of troops, there's an option to leave the unit they're in to go to another one. For example, if they're in a normal grunt unit, they can re-enlist to get a $12,000 or $15,000 bonus tax-free and then go to a striker battalion that's formed at Washington, in Washington State or up in Alaska, and they know they're not going to get back to the country for another year, 18 months. So they know that they're going to be out hoping, now I'm speculating now, that the conflict's going to be over or their unit won't deploy.
Well, I just find that interesting because the reason why I stayed in is I got my medical education through the Health Professional Scholarship Program, so I owed them enough time that I stayed in for the next few years to get my 20. But I find that interesting that they're not having a real escort problem. And also, I also find that I think I'm a libertarian. I'm not a Republican or Democrat, but I think the administration is afraid to call up more reserves. I just talked to some medical reservists who just came back from there. So I don't know. I'm very surprised at the reenlistment. That's the only thing I want to know.
Well, one of the things they've done, too, is it used to be they had some pretty strict standards. For example, non-commissioned officers who haven't gone to the basic leadership course, they've waived that.
Oh, I see.
And they've also increased the body fat percentage now to 40%, where before they would kick you out, and now they're keeping you in.
I remember during Gulf War I, I was still on active duty at Fort Benning. I'm a podiatrist by background. And we had a couple of guys that were, you know, well overweight, but they're reservists. And they said, well, we're overweight. We can't fit our uniforms. Well, we can't get called up. Oh, no, not in a mobilization. Doesn't make any difference. Body fat doesn't mean crap.
Yeah, and but to reenlist, you know, you have to meet highway standards, so they've waived that.
Yeah, I understand. I see what they're doing.
And also, one more thing. This, you noticed that before, there was a lot of discharges from Don't Ask, Don't Tell from the homosexual policy.
No, there isn't.
Zero.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wonder. It's just with statistics and things, I listen to Limbaugh, I listen to Right Wing, but I don't listen to too much of it. I get too upset. And I listen to KGO and all that. But I just find that the reenlistment thing is kind of interesting. But the bonuses, I guess, are pretty good for their education level and all that kind of stuff.
There are troops that are getting $40,000 to reenlist tax-free.
So, and these guys are what, E5, E6s or something like that?
Right, and they're going to specialized MOSs, and they're leaving the country.
That makes sense. I just want to ask that question. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Dave. Good to have you listening, and we got to compete with Rush for him.
It should be pretty easy if you want the truth.
Well, let me recite some stats here, and then we've got to take a break, and we'll come back and break them down and talk about them. The Zogby poll also shows that 58% of those serving in-country in Iraq say the U.S. mission there is clear in their minds. 58% have a clear idea of the mission. 42% say it's either somewhat or very unclear to them, or they have no understanding of it at all, or they're unsure. Now, this is the kicker. While 85% said the U.S. mission is mainly to retaliate for Saddam's role in the 9/11 attacks, totally fictional, 77% said they also believe the main or a major reason for the war was to stop Saddam from protecting al-Qaeda in Iraq. Now, al-Qaeda weren't in Iraq before we invaded and created the power vacuum that permitted al-Zarqawi and a few others to enter. And the U.S. has admitted that the number of foreign fighters is not that great, somewhere under 1,000 in the whole country of 26 million. And so these perceptions by Americans' troops are pretty scary, in my view. Scott, we'll talk about them when we return from the break, and we'll get your views as well.
Okay.
If you'd like to talk with us, lines are open at 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll-free from anywhere, 1-888-579-2540. We'll continue after the break, here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this New Year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Tom Hartman,
chairman of Citicorp, Sanford Weill. He says, I think companies are realizing that we all have to be salesmen for America and not just sit back and rely on the government. I would point out to Mr. Weill, chairman of Citigroup, that his company is sending American jobs to other countries.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Isn't this a great thing? We can use Indian labor for white-collar jobs while we're using Chinese labor for blue-collar jobs. I'm sorry, this just creeps me out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Hello, I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley. Please join us on our new show,
Labor Matters,
on Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m.
We'll be talking about issues of importance to the labor movement and raising awareness of the local struggles of the working men and women of our community.
And, as time permits, state and national issues. Don't give up
the
fight.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Why, thank you. I am your humble host, Peter B. It's 4:33, and we continue with Scott Dick, our military and veterans contributor here on the PBC show. If you have a question or comment, feel free to join us at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. We're talking about the results of this Zogby International poll conducted among U.S. service members serving in Iraq. And as we told you earlier in this hour, 72% of those polled, these are troops on the ground in Iraq, say the U.S. should exit the country within the year. Now, that's comforting to progressives. On the other hand, the poll shows some very disturbing perceptions held by our troops in Iraq. As we mentioned, 85% believe the U.S. mission is mainly to retaliate for Saddam's role in the 9/11 attacks. Scott Dick, this is mind-boggling because even among average Americans, the number of people who believed that, which Bush has acknowledged, is simply not true. Saddam had no role in the 9/11 attacks. But the number of people who believe that peaked at under 50%. And, of course, was highest among those who watched the Fox News channel. So for 85% of American troops to believe something that is flatly untrue about why they are there in Iraq, that's really confounding.
Well, it could be the way the question was phrased. they could be saying that they're there because the nation's leaders believed that Saddam Hussein had a role in it. It's really difficult for me to believe that 85% of our troops there believe that, still believe, after all this time, after all the information to the contrary, that Saddam had still had something to do with the 9/11 attacks. Mm-hmm. That disturbs me. The other thing is, Peter, I want to make a distinction when we're talking about mission between the and there. When it said that 85 or 58% said that or the reason for the U.S. mission, their mission or the mission?
Yeah.
So troops see their mission, they understand what it is, they know they have to go out and they have to do this, they have to do that, X, Y, Z, or the mission, which is to, you know, put democracy on the table of the Iraqis.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe the 42% understood that it was the mission and said it can't be what they're telling us it is.
Well, I take your point. That the way the question is written and the way it is delivered to the respondent can make a critical difference in how it is perceived and answered. And here's one that is, confounding. 93% said that that removing weapons of mass destruction is not a reason for U.S. troops being there. Now, that's what we were initially told by Bush as the reason that we had to imminently go into Iraq. Instead, that initial rationale went by the wayside, and in the minds of 68% of the troops, the real mission became to remove Saddam Hussein. Only 24% said that establishing a democracy that can be a model in the Arab world was the main or a major reason for the war. And among those issues popular with listeners to this program, only 11% believe that the war was to secure oil supplies, and only 6% believe that it was intended to provide for long-term bases for American troops in the region. So these are very different perceptions, particularly when compared to our elite progressive radio listening audience.
It's also, I think what's happened is that the administration is doing to them what it's done to the rest of the American people, and just made sure that they're not quite sure what the issue is. They keep changing. I mean, our troops are susceptible to the same kind of PR spin that we are, and they have a very limited amount. So if the administration says over and over and over again, we're there to export democracy, we're not there for oil, you know, the troops, these kids start to believe it.
Mm-hmm. And coming back here, 77% said they also believe the main or a major reason for the war was to stop Saddam from protecting al-Qaeda in Iraq. Now, I would believe that our troops on the ground have the first-person knowledge that most of the insurgents are not al-Qaeda, are not foreign fighters who have snuck into Iraq since we took it over.
Well, I think that's true, and I think they know that now. But the question was phrased, they believe the main reason for the attack.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that they're talking historical, you know, the historical precedent for attacking, and then what they're actually doing now. Remember, some of these troops have been there on their third tour in Iraq.
Right.
So going in at the beginning and say, what did you believe when you first came here? I believed it was, you know, blah, 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 versus what do you believe now? Well, these are all locals. And so I'm on my third tour now. I know it's local.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be that the, you know, when we look at the data that's been headlined, we don't get all the information. Like, I'd like to see the original survey.
Sure.
It's not that I don't believe that 85% believe that the main reason was to retaliate for Saddam Hussein's role. Mm-hmm. It's just that these mission questions, I think, you know, if I had a chance to read them, would be, I think, interpreted a little bit differently than trying to turn them into paragraph headings.
I understand. One more area that the Zogby poll plumbed was related to the behavior of American personnel in Iraq, and it reads this way. The survey shows that most U.S. military personnel have a clear sense of right and wrong when it comes to using banned weapons against the enemy and in interrogation of prisoners. 4 in 5 said they oppose the use of napalm and white phosphorus, and even as more photos of prisoner abuse in Iraq surface around the world, 55% said it is not appropriate or standard military conduct to use harsh and threatening methods against insurgent prisoners in order to gain information of military value. Now, I'm a little surprised. I thought that number might be a little higher.
Me too. I mean, these troops are briefed. Every year there's a requirement that they be briefed that's about the law of land warfare and what the rules of engagement are. So I'm surprised. It has to be the wording is the explanation that that explains why only 55% think it's not right. Mm-hmm. Now, it could be the older, could be some age-related, too. You know, the older the soldier is, the more they believe that torture and stuff doesn't work, where the younger troops might think, yeah, you know, go get him, cowboy. So that might explain that, mm-hmm. but I don't really have an answer for, you know, why that is.
Yeah. Anything else you want to note from this survey before we move on to some other issues?
No, that's a lot to take in. I'm going to be thinking about this for a while. This has been tough, and it's just too bad that these guys can't go back like every 3 or 4 months and continue to survey. But I bet they're not going to allow another survey like this.
Yeah. If you want to read more about this, go to zogby.com, ZOGBY.com, and look for the survey about U.S. troops in Iraq dated February 28th of this year, 2006. Now, we were just talking about the behavior of troops, Scott, and recently a report was issued about the rather large number of Iraqi and Afghan citizens who have been seriously injured or died in the custody of American soldiers. And there have been some prosecutions, but in general, the accountability on this particular front appears to be pretty weak.
Well, that's like the understatement of the week, Peter. I believe, and you know, let's not argue about numbers, whether it was 28 or 26 or 32. But I think there's been 28 that the army itself has 28 deaths of Iraqis that have been ruled by the army as homicides,
mm-hmm.
and they've had a handful, maybe 4 or 5 or 6 trials. And this last most celebrated case was the warrant officer who was charged with homicide for killing the Iraqi general by put him in a sleeping bag, and they beat him along with the CIA interrogator and wrapped an electric cord around him. And then he died. He suffocated to death. The army ruled a homicide, and after it was all over and done, he got 6 weeks of house arrest.
6 weeks of house arrest?
Right. So there's something going on in the army right now that I think has a lot of professional army officers concerned. You have generals who are taking the fifth. You have General
Jeffrey Miller, yes.
You have Sanchez going away quietly. He hasn't said anything about... The only person that's talking about Abu Ghraib, for example, is Karpinski, that the reserve general who's now a colonel.
Janice Karpinski, right. She was bumped down a rank.
That was her punishment. She was bumped down a rank. And if you're a Marine instructor and somebody dies under your watch in the United States during training, they put you up on negligent homicide and manslaughter charges.
Mm-hmm.
But if you kill an Iraqi in Iraq, you get nothing. Under interrogation, I'm not talking about combat. That's some completely, I don't even want to talk about that because our Army doesn't find deaths in combat as homicide. These were people in our custody. They were unarmed. They were prisoners. And we killed them.
Yeah.
And nobody in the chain of command, the perpetrators, some of them are still in Iraq doing the same thing.
The only parallel I can offer is that under the terms left behind, the decrees by Paul Bremer, who managed the occupation and then slipped away last June and handed it off to Negroponte, he inserted a clause in one of these decrees that said that the military contractors like Blackwater and the KBR folks, KBR is doing infrastructure, not so much the kind of paramilitary work, but in essence, they are immune from any kind of prosecution in Iraqi courts or civil government from any action that they take in Iraq.
Well, see, that now, just to clear that up, not that I would defend those contractors myself, but there's something called the Status of Forces Agreement, a SOFA.
Mm-hmm.
You have to cover those guys under the SOFA. However, they have to be in order to be covered by the SOFA, they have to be prosecuted by the American government. So if the American government declines to prosecute, for example, somebody, one of the private security contractors, shooting and killing an unarmed Iraqi, they can't be prosecuted under the Iraqi courts. The government, it's the United States government's job to prosecute that person.
Hmm.
Or the SOFA is a joke. And a lot of countries spend a lot of time negotiating with the United States. They have large troop concentrations to make sure that they have some kind of leeway because the SOFA can be misused tremendously by the country that's, you know, has troops in like Korea is a good example. Japan is a good example. Now we've had an agreement with Japan when, for example, a troop rapes a woman to turn the troop over to the government.
Mm-hmm.
That never existed before. A lot of times they're prosecuted in the military system and sent home.
What are you hiding under that sofa? We'll continue in just a moment. We'll go to the phones in the next segment if you want to talk with me and Scott Dick about military veterans affairs. Get on the line now, 831-899-5792 from the Central Coast, or toll-free from Eureka or anywhere within the sound of my voice. It's 1-888-579-2540, 888-579-2540. It's 445. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? At your wit's end, trying to figure out how you'll be able to keep your home? Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender, and believe me, most lenders would rather negotiate with you than own your home. We can advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. If you need us, you can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We personally answer the phone and don't pre-screen our calls. We're here to give you advice. We can give you your options 5 minutes after reviewing your credit report. We might be able to help you. We might not be able to help you. But if you never call us, you'll never know. That's 443-7277 for a five-minute solution. Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to the designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
KRXA 540 cares about your commute. We check traffic now with Metro Diane.
We'll keep your eyes open in Salinas. Northbound 101 before Veranda Road, a truck has actually dropped some debris in the roadway there. An accident in Greenfield, northbound 101 at Lago Marcino Avenue. Solo vehicle rolled over. Looks like CHP is on scene, so they should be clearing that up. And couple's cow is walking around in Hollister. It's Union Road at Union Heights Drive. Reports that up to 10 cows just sort of walking in the lanes there, so definitely drive with caution for that. This report is brought to you by... I was waiting for it.
It took me a minute.
This report is brought to you by McDonald's. From the premium chicken sandwiches to the chicken McNuggets made with white meat, you can trust McDonald's for carefully inspected, top-quality chicken. Taste the difference today only at McDonald's. Mmm, chicken.
Oh, shut up.
I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
.448 here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up right after 5 o'clock, we throw open the doors to the free speech zone. We welcome calls on any subject from any viewpoint, from anybody who's generally coherent. Continuing now with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. And Scott, you wanted to make a point about the disparity in the treatment of these individuals who were tried for homicide, the killing of Iraqi civilians, not a war context, but in custody or in some other setting, and people who ended up having a picture taken at Abu Ghraib.
Well, the lesson from all this learned, Peter, is, you know, if you kill somebody, that's one thing, but don't get your picture taken with somebody holding a leash, because that'll get you 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the irony just it blows me away. There's a commentator actually wrote an article about it last week, and there's so much to take away from that. It's not what we are. It's not what we stand for. It's not what this country is. It's not what the modern American military is about. But that's what it's turned into be. We have troops had their photos taken. They've gotten 5 years, 10 years, 8 years. But these guys who actually kill prisoners are getting zit.
Well, and when it comes to Abu Ghraib, of course, the real issue here is that they've managed to limit the damage using damage control methods to very low-level individuals. I believe that sergeant is the highest rank of the individuals convicted so far, and that was Ivan Frederick, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, we have to believe, I can't say that I know, but I firmly believe that these people were following orders and that the orders weren't written down to provide deniability for their superiors. But I believe their superiors are the ones who should be held accountable.
It's a chain of command, and that's the way it works. If you can use dereliction of duty against the one star in charge, then it just doesn't stop there. The buck goes all the way up to Sanchez, and as you can see, it's clear. Nothing's going to happen to him, and nothing's happened to anybody between him and her.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating. Oh, I want to go back to one more point real briefly. Okay. We're talking about bonuses, the caller. Mm-hmm. There, you can get $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, and $40,000, and here are some of the military occupational specialties. Special Forces, Explosive Ordnance Disposal, Recruiter, and Delta Force. So those are just some of those that they're paying the big bonuses to. Yeah. I thought Recruiter and Explosive Ordnance Disposal right together was pretty funny.
Yeah, that is funny in a not too humorous way.
No, that's true.
Dave from Humboldt, thanks for holding. You're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, believe it or not, I was a coherent caller when I first called in. Anyway, Paul, I have often wondered how they managed to keep the soldiers over there believing that they're involved in some noble purpose. And I do recall once hearing Condoleezza talking to them over there about a year ago, and her statement was, "Always remember, they brought this war to us. We did not bring this war to them." So, and I'm sure that with Fox and Limbaugh, they definitely are trying to deceive them into believing that we're in a defensive role there, attacking an enemy that attacked us. And that puts it on a much less honorable plane for most of us, I think.
Well, Scott, in your view, do troops require a noble mission in order to serve effectively?
I think modern American volunteers do, indeed. I don't think that you can steamroll them. I mean, the troops I was mostly worked with in the 80s and the 90s, these are why guys and gals. They ask why. They want to know why they're doing what they're doing, whether it's picking up cigarette butts in the parking lot and they don't smoke, to why are we doing this physical exercise at 4:30 in the morning when we should be doing something like sleeping, because this is stupid. So the stupid questions, like, why are we doing this? This is stupid. It's a famous kind of retort for soldiers. And it's really hard for me to believe that this generation is so much different. The American soldiers have been famous for, one, not following doctrine, and two, asking why. So this would surprise me that the troops haven't, it doesn't surprise me. Let's go backwards. They're getting a load of garbage from our administration, and that's keeping them close to the mission. And they're cutting them off from the basic information infrastructure that we have. And so they don't get all the facts.
Yeah. Dave, another comment?
No, that's good. I like what you're doing, Scott. I hope you can stay on board with it for more. Maybe a lot of the soldiers' families, I would think, would be sending them information that would make them aware that Iraq did nothing to the United States. And if they arrived at that conclusion, I would be myself, if I was a soldier there, wondering, what in the world am I doing here?
The problem with that, Dave, is that most parents are not going to tell their kids that. Even if they believe it, they're going to wait till they come home because they don't want to do anything that's going to undercut their position there. And I was talking to a mom, it was 2 years ago, her son was on the verge of going to Iraq, and she didn't want to hear anything but absolute positives about the mission, about the administration, about his leadership, about his role in Iraq. She didn't want to hear about the possibility that he could be wounded or killed.
We call that denial.
It's, we do it in the country, and that's how we can not be in a constant sort of fugue state.
Some of us want to be lied to, I guess, huh?
We have to lie to ourselves. I mean, talk about a low-grade parental worry. When you have a kid in a conflict in harm's way, that goes to high grade. And it's hard for parents to not think that their kids are protected, that we're looking out for the best of them, that we give them the best equipment and the most money. That, you know, it's just, they just want to deny it. It's easier just to ignore it and say, no, everything's fine.
Well, and you can see it in the reaction to Cindy Sheehan. Not a perfect vessel in many respects, but she has carried a powerful message, and it has polarized certain aspects of the military family community, because not all of them are prepared to hear what Cindy Sheehan, a grieving mother who lost her son in Iraq, has to say.
No, and it could happen to their kids, too, but they don't want to hear that. Their kids are volunteers. They went over there for a mission, and they just want to keep them safe and get them home. But they don't want to undercut their own child's, you know, mental morale. It's real conflicted. You know, what parents tell their kids the truth about some things.
And people who, you know, have the stickers, those yellow stickers on their gas-guzzling SUVs that say, I support the troops, and people who are somewhat over-the-top or melodramatic in the way they talk about supporting the troops. Scott, when we see these survey results with, 72% saying that, we ought to come home by the end of the year, and 29% saying that U.S. forces should leave Iraq immediately, if we support the troops, shouldn't we listen to the results of this survey?
We should, and we should eliminate the stop-loss program, which is keeping people, against their will.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to get out, they should be able to get out at the end of their enlistment. I'm not saying they should just be able to walk away from their commitments, but they should be able to get out when it's time to get out, if that's what they want to do. And the other thing is, Peter, that concerns me is now they're starting to undercut support for the veterans. So they talk a big line. I'm talking about the administration, the Republican administration, who says, support the troops, don't say anything bad, but when you become a veteran, we're going to pull the rug out from underneath you. And one of the ways they're going to do that is they're proposing this monumental increase in enrollment fees. Now, I don't want to get too esoteric here, but basically all you veterans out there who use TRICARE in any of its forms, be advised the government is trying to raise your prices triple. They're triple your fees for your enrollment and for drugs. And the other thing is that I just saw a veterans thing saying that 70% of veterans are obese and they use a lot of drugs, and that there's two kinds, Peter. There's always one. It was kind of an HMO, and then that one you had to pay an enrollment for, and then there was a standard care, and mm-hmm. you didn't have to pay. Now they're talking about tripling the enrollment fee for the first type and adding a fee that never existed before on the second type. So veterans, if you think supporting this administration is going to get you anywhere, it's not. They're going to undercut you. And this quote from the senator in Idaho just really was concerning me, because we cannot pretend the taxpayers' funding of programs that support our nation's veterans exists in a vacuum.
Absolutely.
So I think he was saying that, things get more expensive, we need to cut back. Well, that $500 billion we spent in Iraq, we could shave off a couple billion and take care of our troops. The other thing, one more thing, Peter, is that mm-hmm. they're building a trauma care center in San Antonio, close to where there's a couple big military conglomerates with hospitals there. They're having to build it with private funds, and they're pimping it as support your fallen wounded or your fallen soldier, your honorable soldier, wounded, fallen hero, and rattling a tin cup. And these are guys and gals who were maimed on active duty, and I find it offensive that they're raising private funds to pay for this facility.
Indeed. We should roll back a few tax cuts to improve benefits for veterans in this country. We should not be tripling their premiums and their prescription co-pays.
And building the bridge to no place in Alaska, bless his old heart.
Scott, a pleasure. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Peter. I appreciate it.
Yep, we'll talk again soon. That's Scott Dick. Coming up next, it's the Free Speech Zone. Any comment is welcome, so grab a line and share your thoughts. 831-899-5792, 888-579-2540. Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cat.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Miliano.
This is the military and the political leadership's worst nightmare.
CBS News military consultant Army Colonel Jeff McCausland, retired, is talking about a U.S. intelligence report CBS News national security correspondent David Martin's uncovered. A big bang, as he quoted one official, a spectacular terrorist attack in Iraq planned by Al-Qaeda and terrorist Abu Musab al-Zarqawi.
What is new and different about this intelligence is that he appears to be going for another spectacular, like the bombing of the Shiite mosque at the end of last month, which pushed the country to the brink of civil war. And apparently his calculation is that if he can just pull off another one like that, he will, in fact, push the country over the brink and into civil war.
All motor vehicle traffic has been banned from Baghdad tomorrow. The two sides brought it right down to the wire, the side that carried the day in the U.S. Senate.
There's simply no better tool in the hands of law enforcement officials than the Patriot Act to be able to fight and combat terrorism internally within the United States.
It's Georgia Republican Senator Saxby Chambliss says the revised Patriot Act passed overwhelmingly, in spite of Wisconsin Democrat Senator Russ Feingold saying it wasn't needed.
A system called checks and balances keeps different parts of the government from having too much power.
CBS News Capitol Hill correspondent Bob Fuss sorts it all out.
The overwhelming final vote, 89 to 10, came at the end of a long and difficult process that included a filibuster by Democrats and some conservative Republicans, many of whom are still uneasy about the broad powers this law gives the FBI. Republican Saxby Chambliss of Georgia, though, has been for it from the start.
There's simply no better tool in the hands of law enforcement officials than the Patriot Act to be able to fight and combat terrorism.
The measure makes most of the Patriot Act permanent law and news for four more years, provisions allowing broad secret searches of business records, including those of hospitals and libraries. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The New Jersey judge gave him a chance.
Mr. Cullen, are you ready to address this court, the assembled families of your victims, and society as a whole?
Nothing to say.
I'm sorry?
Nothing to say.
Charles Cullen just sat there, staring down at his bulletproof vest, sometimes squeezing his eyes closed as relative after relative got up to speak, failing to hear from Cullen why he murdered 22 patients while working as a nurse in New Jersey. His guilty plea brought him a life sentence in prison. In Los Angeles, 19 people, including five former lawmen, have been arrested and charged with taking part in a home invasion robbery ring. Tom O'Brien's an assistant U.S. attorney. He says court documents say the renegade group wore police uniforms, badges, and used police tactics during the robberies. Down day on a big board today. The Dow was down 28. The NASDAQ down 3.5. This is CBS News.
Get the good stuff.
Hey, this is Michael Waltrip. Drive the number 55 Napa race car. A lot of people don't know this about me, but I'm quite a hat collector. That's why Napa is helping me collect as many hats as I can, starting with yours. Just bring any old hat into your local Napa auto parts store and swap it for a brand new Napa racing hat. The same hat me and my race team wear at the track. Bring in your old hat today and drive home looking like a winner. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds I get my credit report and credit score free. I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and triple advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
Final plans being ironed out between NASA and its international partners on getting the International Space Station flying again. CBS News correspondent Peter King.
NASA and its international partners expect the station to be finished by 2010 when the space shuttle is due to be retired. But NASA head Michael Griffin says it requires a change in strategy.
Largely deferring the utilization of that station while we concentrate on building it.
That means less science and research for now. Griffin says 16 shuttle flights will deliver the rest of the hardware, including Japanese and European laboratories. A Russian power plant stays grounded, American generators will continue to feed the Russian section for 10 years.
But the end product is very much as we have envisioned it.
NASA hopes to resume shuttle flights in May and restart station assembly in August. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
New postage stamps for 2 and 3 ounce letters come out next week. They'll honor Drs. Jonas Salk and Albert Sabin, key contributors in the development of a polio vaccine. I'm Lou Mulligano, CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
Professor, this is Mary.
Hi, I wanted to find out about adding minutes to my phone.
Okay, what would you like to know?
OnStar Hands-Free Calling is a voice-activated calling feature built into OnStar-equipped vehicles that allows subscribers to make and receive calls while keeping their hands on the wheel and eyes on the road.
Can I go ahead and add the 250 minutes?
You can always go higher now.
Hey, girlfriend, I'm already addicted to this thing.
There are no additional access fees, roaming, or long-distance charges.
Thank you for holding those units for download successfully. Just tell all your friends how they get you out of OnStar.
I definitely will. Thank you so much.
No problem. Is there anything else I can do for you?
Nope, that's it. So you have a good night.
You have a great evening, and thank you for using OnStar.
You'll find OnStar on over 50 GM vehicles. OnStar by GM. To purchase hands-free calling minutes or learn more about this service, push your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar hands-free calling is not available in certain markets.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. We're heading into the free speech zone, and I want to hear from you.
Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
Iraq, weapons of mass destruction.
A clear threat to the United States.
And there's dozens of ballistic missiles.
It is sponsored and sheltered terrorists.
Paying suicide
bombers.
Chemical
weapons are equally true.
Biological weapons, including anthrax and botulism toxins.
Biological and chemical agent to kill millions of people.
Chemical weapons, including BX and sarin, mustard gas.
To a massive and sudden horror.
Massive death and destruction.
Death on a massive scale.
Yes, President Gas is currently touring India and Pakistan after a surprise visit yesterday to Afghanistan. You know things are hot in Washington when Bush sleeps in somebody else's bed. I want to hear from you. It's the Free Speech Zone. This entire hour, we have no guests scheduled. It's all callers. 831-899-5792 from the Central Coast. Or 888-579-2540 from Eureka or anywhere else you happen to be listening. You're invited to comment on any issue in the news, but I think this is stunning. 72% of American troops serving in Iraq think the U.S. should exit the country within the next year. 29% of those believe that the U.S. should leave Iraq immediately. And another 22% said they should leave in the next 6 months. Can you add 22 and 29? That's 51% who say get out within 6 months, 72% who say get out within the next year. And as I put it to Scott Dick at the end of the last hour, if you support the troops, shouldn't you want to bring them home? Shouldn't you want to support their desire to come home? I know there are other issues. I'm not trying to oversimplify this. But I think that this is a stunning survey. And as we aired out in the last hour, just to be fair and a little bit balanced, there are some bizarre findings in this survey. 85% of the troops surveyed said the U.S. mission is mainly to retaliate for Saddam's role in the 9/11 attacks. Holy cow. Holy cow. You looking for a little good news? Well, so much of the fortunes of progressives are linked to changing the composition of the House and the Senate in Washington this year in the 2006 midterm elections. It will not be easy. Most incumbents win re-election if they stand for re-election. And so one of the things we look at as an indicator and something we can hope for is that Republicans will vacate their seats voluntarily. Yeah, not through indictments or death. Yes, unlike Ann Coulter, I do not spend a lot of time wishing for the death of my political opponents. But analysts say that 10 to 15 more Republicans may announce retirements in the coming months. Some because they read the writing on the wall and see the decline of Republican fortunes under this Bush administration, and that it looks like 2005 was the low point for the Bush administration until they got to 2006, and now they're setting a new low point. So there are now 25 open seats in the House of Representatives, 16 held by Republicans, 8 currently held by Democrats, and 1 is vacant, which was held by a Republican. That's Duke Cunningham's vacated seat in San Diego. So if you know any Republican members of Congress who are nearing the retirement age and you want to nudge them, feel free. But unlike Ann Coulter, I will not ask you to off them. Just nudge them, okay? Let me hear from you this hour, 831-899-5792 from Monterey, Salinas, or Santa Cruz. Toll free from Eureka, Arcata, or Humboldt County at 888-579-2540. And if you're listening on your computer thing at KRXA540.com, use the toll free line from anywhere in the U.S., 888-579-2540. Richard from Monterey, you're up first this hour. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good evening. Am I on the air?
You am on the air, Richard. We're hanging on your every pause.
Okay. I'm driving here. Let me pull over real quick here.
Okay. We do prefer that you not have an accident on the air. It would be so embarrassing, and then we'd have to do something about it.
Yeah. Well, I've got so many things I'd like to talk about, but the one thing in the last couple minutes about the veterans benefits. I've been listening and watching and reading about this for the last couple months, and it really disgusts me. I am a, I have a brother who served in Vietnam. I have a brother who served in Kosovo, Somalia, and the first Gulf War. I have a father who served in World War II, uncles in World War II, and I, while I was drafted, I was able to get a conscientious objector discharge out of the Army back in 1970 during the Vietnam War.
Wow, good for you, Richard.
And I find it extremely disgusting that the Republicans who vote for cutting the benefits of the individuals who are forced to, for whatever reason, as well as those who feel they need to serve our country, it's one of the most despicable things, and it's one of the biggest low points for Bush. And I was listening. I'm very upset.
Mm-hmm.
I was hearing on one of the radio stations that there was going to be a march and a get-together on the mall in Washington this spring or summer. And I was wondering if anyone has heard anything about it.
You know, I've seen a couple of emails going back and forth, and I don't want to misstate it, but I believe, let me find a calendar here. It's around March 15th, and I think that the date was shifted in order to get closer to the anniversary of our launch of unilateral war in Iraq. And so I'll tell you what, rather than misinform anybody, if you just keep listening, sometime over the next week, we'll try to nail down the details and pass it along on the air. But I'm looking at a calendar now, and so I guess March 18th, Saturday, is the date closest to the initiation of hostilities 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've heard is that some progressives have decided to turn this into a statement both against the war and a critique of the media's failure to properly represent the interests of the American people with appropriate skepticism and in-depth reporting. We've seen far too many occasions where the media has simply accepted what the White House or the Pentagon has had to say and not really drilled down to get to the truth and to ferret out a real honest representation of what the American people need to know.
Well, I also see it as a way to make a real strong statement about those individuals who continue to vote for the Iraqi war and continue to vote for cutting veterans' benefits and who proclaim to be true Americans and have the interests of our troops as number one, and as a way to, as you were just saying, to nudge those individuals out of office due to embarrassment, if only to have their names in their districts where they claim to be true conservative and true Americans to be really just in for it for themselves.
Well, and Richard, let me just offer this, because what's missing from this picture is strong advocacy from the loyal opposition. And the Democrats are too much into straddle mode, trying to nuance the issues and, you know, peel off a certain level of voters without offending others. And it is time for Democrats to have a clear, unequivocal position that they can rally around and that the American people can grasp and say, aha, the Democrats really are different from the Republicans on the key issues of the day. That is not present right now. And we can talk all day long about how bad the Republicans are and how badly, they are dismantling their machinery. But every day the wrecking crew does more damage in areas where we're not paying attention. And there's very little change in the posture or conduct of the war. And so we have to look to the leaders who should be speaking up, should be challenging this administration, and they should be Democrats. But they're not giving us what we deserve. Richard, I got to go to a break. I really thank you for calling, and I appreciate your thoughtful remarks.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for joining us. We're in the Free Speech Zone, and you can be next. My lines are open for you at 888-579-2540 toll-free or a local call for the Central Coast at 831-899-5792. It's an all-caller hour, and you're welcome to participate. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the Concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 checking traffic at 520. Here's Metro Diane.
Well, we have a stalled vehicle in Santa Cruz. It's Francis 40 Drive at Vine Hill Road. Stalled vehicle in the middle of the roadway, so definitely watch out for that. Also in Twin Lakes, 7th Avenue at Bonnie Street. Reports of several vehicles are parked in a no parking zone, which is actually making it unable to turn left onto Bonnie there, so be aware of that. And we also still have cows in the roadway. Apparently just can't get them back behind the fence in Hollister. It's Union Road at Union Heights Drive. Reports of up to 10 cows just walking around in the lanes there, so definitely watch out for that. This report is brought to you by Sullivan Learning Center. Sullivan Learning Center, learning feels good. Call 1-800-EDUCATE today. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
I had the chickens ready for the Colonel. Well, maybe.
We can learn about chickens at Sullivan Learning Center.
Maybe next time.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where we feature progressive talk and electric guitars.
It was a filthy block of flats. Trash was on the floor. A snake was in my nose. Hinges off the door.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Rolling Stones don't have enough money, so they're taking their world tour of retirement income to Red China, where they have readily agreed to censor their act and not play certain songs that might offend the Chinese leadership. So first Google, then the Rolling Stones. And, of course, the Stones did submit to censorship when they played at the Super Bowl in Detroit back there in early February. So, hey, you know, why let standards get in the way of making a good living? Lynn from Eureka, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for your call.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Pretty good today, thank you.
Peter, I'm just calling because we're trying to find out what the vote was, if you know, on the Patriot Act.
I believe it was somewhere around 96-3 or 96-4. I think one senator was absent.
You're kidding. 96-3?
Well, I don't have this in front of me, and I'm basing it on the cloture vote.
Uh-huh.
That occurred yesterday.
I see.
So
wow.
You keep talking, and let me just see if I can pull it up on
okay.
The web. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what to say, but...
Well, you can say that Russ Feingold is a fine American.
Russ Feingold is a fine American, trying to filibuster that. I wish that he'd got a lot more support. I'm actually a little disgusted, or more than a little disgusted, with the Democrats that didn't help him out.
All right. We're through Google, and this, by the way, is not available in China.
Yeah, right.
Come on, Google, load. Here we go. The Senate passed the Patriot Act on Thursday, handing President Bush a victory in his troubled second term. 89-10 was the final vote.
Okay.
And the two Democrats I know who voted against it were Feingold and Senator Byrd.
Okay.
But I don't know who the other eight are. I would expect that one of them is named Barbara Boxer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure she voted against it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much, Peter.
Hey, thanks for caring. And by the way, I want to mention that a listener, Chris from Salinas, has been a very good supporter of the program, but also he occasionally sends me reminder emails. And last weekend he said, hey, Peter, don't let them distract us with the ports issue and Cheney's hunting accident from the renewal of the Patriot Act.
Good point.
And I appreciate vigilant listeners like you, Lynn, and like Chris in Salinas.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Ed, who is normally in Aptos, is visiting the grandkids in Concord. He's back today. Hi, Ed.
Greetings.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Sounds a little quiet over there. Are the kids outside?
Yes, they are. The weather has let them escape to the outside and brought sanity to the inside.
Oh, good. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was just continuing on what we kind of had a short segment with you yesterday, but people that, you know, say those damn Democrats and everything like that, well, the opportunity to change them is at hand because you can go register and run for your county Democratic Central Committee or Republican Central Committee, too. I'd like to see a few moderate Republicans go in and shake up the Republican Party and get some sanity in on that side of the...
That's not a bad idea. But your basic call is that people who have, you know, maybe made a phone call to a radio program or called to object to the Alito confirmation, that here is an opportunity for them to get in on the ground floor.
Exactly. They can become an elected member of the their respective party. All they have to do is go down to the county elections department and take out a petition. You get 20 signatures, and if... For instance, it varies from supervisorial district to supervisorial district. It's run on that basis.
Mm-hmm.
But in my district, there's five members that are elected from the second supervisorial district to the county Democratic County Central Committee. So if there's five petitioners, then there's no election. But if there's six, then the names appear on the ballot, and you'll be in on the ballot in, I guess it's June.
Mm-hmm.
And the filing closes the 10th of March. So
okay, so time is running out. And I will just say this, that I've been very impressed with the members of the Monterey County Democratic Central Committee, whom I've met over the last year or so, who are very smart, quite strategic, and quite focused on building a good ground operation, expanding the registered voter base, and informing voters on a regular basis about the key issues before us. Do you see the same level of activity in Santa Cruz County?
I do. I think San Benito it needs a little help, but I haven't heard too many people from that. We're Santa Cruz and Monterey are connected because we're both in the 27th Assembly District.
Mm-hmm.
So we get together. There used to be, they're changing this now, the party rules have changed, but there used to be an organization called the 27th Assembly District Committee, which was a combination of people from Monterey. And they elected people to go to the state convention. Oh, that's another thing. The state convention, Democratic state convention, will be the end of April, 27th, 28th, whatever that mm-hmm. weekend will be, starts on a Friday and runs through Sunday. So.
And it should be critical in shaping the governor's race and the governor's primary between Wesley and Angelitas.
You're right. It's quite fun when there's people, you know, elective offices, because they get in there and court the party faithful, and you don't have to actually be elected and come. You can just show up and kind of they'll issue you an observer's pass, and you can get in. And although the seats aren't that good, you can get in and observe the proceedings. But you have access to most of the stuff that, say, an elected person like myself who has credentials to get on the floor,
mm-hmm.
you can do almost the same thing. There's a lot of, you know, they throw these parties and everything. And you go.
And Ed, for people who might be a little to the left of you and me, I would like to encourage them to participate as well. There is now a progressive caucus in the California Democratic Party.
Yes.
And it is trying to expand statewide and build support at the county level. And I think it's exciting, and I think it's healthy for the Democratic Party to have active wings and try to neutralize that move to the right. So thanks for your inspiration today, Ed. We're
okay,
up against a break. I got to run. Sorry.
One item.
No, I don't have time, but hold on. We'll
it's
bring you back
Sacramento.
After the break. This is Peter B. Collins, and I'm not in control.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money in Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyet every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has 3 rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
It's 5:33, and I'm Peter B. Collins. Our governor has gone to Columbus, Ohio with the bodybuilders, and he wants them to pump it up. Meanwhile, in California, we're here in the free speech zone, and your calls are welcome. Any issue, any viewpoint, as long as you're coherent, we'll take your call. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast. Toll-free from elsewhere, 1-888-579-2540. And Ed just couldn't quite finish before the break came through like a freight train. Oh, and then he dropped. He was demanding additional time. Well, Ed did have a very good suggestion, though, for people to get involved in politics starting at the Central Committee level. And during our incredibly long commercial break, I called up Dottie Lemieux, the Green Dog Democrat, who's very active in the progressive wing of the Democratic Party in California. Hi, Dottie. Can we pump Dottie up, please? All right, James, that's dial tone. Now let's look for Dottie. Do we have her or did we drop her? Okay. Can you call her back, please? Dottie Lemieux is based in Marin County. She ran for supervisor once, and she has run successful campaigns for candidates for supervisor and other posts. And she is an avowed Green Dog Democrat. She's an environmentalist and a progressive in almost every respect I'm aware of. Dottie Lemieux also was the California coordinator for the Kucinich for President campaign during the 2004 electoral cycle. So she's got great credentials, and she's been a political activist since her dad ran for office, I believe, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, when she was maybe 8 or 10 years old. And Dottie is back with us. Dottie, thanks for joining us today.
Okay, here I am.
I was just running down for people your work for Kucinich, your work on behalf of various progressive candidates, and our caller, Ed, was encouraging people to get involved in Santa Cruz County. March 10th is the deadline for people to sign up to run for office on the Democratic Central Committee. And I was pointing out that progressives have become more and more active in the Democratic Party, and I think it's a welcome development. Talk a little bit about the Progressive Caucus and what stage of development you'd say it's at today.
Well, thanks, Peter, for that introduction. We are really moving along. It took us about a year to get organized and to get accepted by the Democratic Party of California, but we are now one of the largest, if not the largest, caucus, maybe next to the Women's Caucus, in the state party. We have about 600 members. Most of them are delegates to the state party, but you don't have to be a delegate to join. And our purpose is to support progressive causes and those legislators who support them. One of our main goals this year is to get something passed, a resolution on Iraq, to try to bring our troops home as soon as possible and to put some kind of support for a multilateral non-U.S.-led coalition there to do some work. So we're working on that.
You mean a real coalition?
A real coalition, yeah, not a coalition of the willing or whatever
the George billing
calls it. Yeah. the billing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or those who pay or are owed. And we're going to be meeting this April 28th in Sacramento at the state convention.
Mm-hmm.
People can come and join them. They can go to our website at www.progressivecaucuscdp.org.
And wait. Let's write this down.
Progressive Caucus CDP. CDP for California Democratic Party, CDP.org.
Okay.
And they can learn all about what we're doing there. We'll have some resolutions on the website. And we had a great forum on Iraq in January at the executive board of the Democratic Party. We had Scott Ritter, the chief weapons inspector, come.
Oh, sure, I know Scott.
He was
fantastic. Yeah.
So having him and David Swanson and a lot of other people who really know the subject come and
Swanson,
talk to us.
Swanson's one of the founders of PDA, the Progressive Democrats of America, right?
He was involved in that, and he's now with the After Downing Street Memo group.
Right.
So he's really involved. So we're really making Iraq one of our focuses for this year,
mm-hmm.
as well as single payer health care is another thing that we really are pushing.
Well, I can certainly support both of those. And Dottie, to what extent have you succeeded in attracting currently elected officers or elected representatives to the Progressive Caucus?
Well, they always line up to address us at the conventions. And Phil Angelides, who's running for state, the governor,
uh-huh.
He's now the treasurer, he joined our caucus at our very first meeting in Sacramento. I'm really pleased to have him as a member. So we've been getting them slowly, the rest of them, but they know about us, and they make sure that we're on their list of people to see, and they court us. So they understand that we are a force and that people do want change and they want progressive issues to be brought to the forefront.
Well, I'm delighted to hear about this and also pleased just to pass it along to our listeners. Dottie, anything you'd like to add?
Well, just if they're around and they want to come to the convention in April, it's at the Sacramento Convention Center. They can go to the Progressive Caucus website to find out about it or to the California Democratic Party website. Google California Democratic Party to get there. And Yeah, join us.
Great. Well, thanks, Dottie.
Okay, thanks so much, Peter.
Yep. Thanks Bye. For she picked up the phone when I called her, and I appreciate that. But I did want to share that information, and again, the website is progressivecaucuscdp.org. More of your calls now, and, Billy dropped. I don't have any callers right now, so the switchboard is wide open, and that means if you call us up, you'll get through promptly, and we'll put you right on the air. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll-free 888-579-2540 from Eureka or elsewhere. And miraculously, Billy has reconnected with us. Hi, Billy.
Well, it is a miracle. Well, because you said something about as long as we were coherent. So I thought you didn't want to speak to me.
We try to set minimal standards, but you usually leap right over them.
I was feeling not confident today.
Oh, God.
Yeah, here's the problem. He really needs to be impeached. And doesn't the Senate have to suggest it and the House have to do it?
Other way around.
Okay.
It works this way. Yeah. And, in fact, we're going to talk about this a little bit tomorrow with Jeffrey Feldman. He works in I guess, cahoots, but not directly, with George Lakoff. And Jeffrey's website is Frame Shop is Open. And he's a social scientist who looks at framing of issues. And in particular, he's parsed the meaning of the word impeachment. And if you want to do a little homework and get ready, he'll be on at 3 o'clock tomorrow. You can check it out at frameshopisopen.com. But he points out that many Americans want impeachment, and by that they mean throw the bum out. And
no, I mean,
of course,
the technical
term for impeachment is when the House refers charges against a federal official and then passes them in such a manner that the Senate will then hold a trial to adjudicate the issues that have been raised. So essentially, the House indicts through impeachment, and the Senate presides over the trial.
Well, there's a problem with that, obviously.
Yeah, right? One-party rule.
Exactly. So it seems to me that you and me and all good Americans need to do it ourselves. Now, maybe it won't be official. Maybe it'll be mock in some sense. But right now, the only thing that's being mocked is democracy. It's being democked, if you will, by these guys. So what about us, I don't know, taking an hour of the Peter B. Show every day for however long it takes and begin impeachment proceedings?
Well, I would certainly be open to it. There's an interesting event that is occurring as we speak, Billy, in New York tonight. And it is an effort put on by Harper's Magazine and a few others. I can't recall the other sponsoring organizations. But I read an email at the Daily Coast today from John Conyers, the fighting congressman from Michigan. And he is appearing at this event, along with Elizabeth Holtzman, who served in Congress from Brooklyn and was a part of the she served on the House Judiciary Committee during the Nixon impeachment process. And she was on our program about a month ago and made the case very forcefully. Also, I will point out, in case you missed it yesterday, we spoke to Michael Ratner from the Center for Constitutional Rights, and they have just published a book called Articles of Impeachment Against George W. Bush. And it is a soft cover from Melville House Publishing, sells for under $10, and it's only, you know, a couple of hundred pages.
Sounds like it might be a good organizing principle for our impeachment proceedings.
Indeed. It lays out what the key charges are. Many of them relate to the NSA spying, to the illegal detention of enemy combatants, and to the torture conducted at Abu Ghraib.
I have a few others that I'd like to add to that. I'm very, very upset about the way they this whole faith-based initiative,
yes,
and how they then turn that into recruiting, and now they're demanding the membership lists. That's just totally corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, Billy, I like your suggestion.
Yeah.
We'll work on it, and maybe there's a way that we could once a week devote an hour to an individual who wants to make the case for impeachment. Because I agree with you, and I've mentioned this on the show a few times, but Cindy Sheehan turned me around on this. When I spoke to her last summer, just before she went to Crawford, I poo-pooed the idea of impeachment based on the practical problem that we have one-party rule, and you can't get anyone in Washington to in the majority party to sponsor this. But
well, you were half right.
As she pointed out, we cannot take that as a definitive answer. And I support the efforts of Bob Furtick at ImpeachPact.org, and he says that we will achieve impeachment through electing a Democratic Congress.
Well, as you know, a continuing theme of mine is that now that we have gerrymandering and these people making their own shapes of their districts, and now that we have people who count votes and machines like Diebold's, we can't depend on winning elections as a way to rid ourselves of truly damaging government.
Well, you're right. We can't rely solely on that. We also have to win elections with a sufficient margin to overcome the graft.
Which is why maybe in the media we have to take on this impeachment challenge, because the media itself isn't doing it. The big media.
Billy, thanks. Good suggestion. We'll act on it.
Thanks, buddy.
More of your calls coming up next. There's room for you at 831-899-5792 or toll-free at 888-579-2540. It's now 545, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Care about labor issues?
Does it matter to you that we are losing thousands of jobs a year in this country to NAFTA and CAFTA?
Should all working men and women have health coverage?
Do you care about local labor struggles where workers are being exploited?
Do you want to unionize?
If you care, then join us. I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley.
Every Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m. for our new show,
Labor
Matters, as we
discuss
these important issues.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 547 now. Once again, Metro Diane.
Well, we have a stalled vehicle and an accident coming through for pretty much the same area in Aptos. Southbound Highway 1 after SoCal Drive, we have an accident there. CHP is on scene and a tow truck is en route to clear that out of there. And also a stalled vehicle in Aptos, northbound Highway 1 at SoCal Drive. So stalled Jeep is in the center divide, but it might be slowing things down a bit there. In Santa Cruz, Brown 240 Drive at Vine Hill Road, we have a stalled vehicle in the middle of the roadway. And in Gilroy, keep your eyes open for some lumber in the two right-hand lanes, northbound 101 at Maston Avenue. This report is brought to you by Advil. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the every pain reliever. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back with you tomorrow. It's the Peter B. Collins Show in the home stretch here. We're in the free speech zone, and your call is welcome. You got all those minutes on your fancy cell phone. Why don't you burn a few on me, huh? Just punch in our numbers on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. North Coast or elsewhere, toll-free, 888-579-2540.
Ready, steady, go!
And I really dig this song, but I'm bummed that it's now being used as the background music on a Saab commercial. course, The Clash sold out to Jaguar. Led Zeppelin's on Cadillac commercials. I guess I just have to get over it and get used to it. Jake in Arcata, thanks for your call. You're on the PBC show. Good afternoon.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'd just like to comment on what Billy was saying there. I do agree. I think impeachment is the route that we need to take, not only as American citizens, but as Democrats. I think that we need something to unify the party. We need some sort of theme we can rally around. And just about every Democrat in the country, other than maybe Joe Lieberman, wants Bush impeached at this point. And I think we need to get together on this and call for it. And, we may actually win, and it may happen as a result.
Well, I agree with the way you framed it. That if impeachment is the unifying, overarching theme of the electoral effort to win back the House in these elections this November, then I think that's a no-lose proposition. Because even if we don't succeed on the larger goal of, pushing impeachment through, running against Bush is bound to be very effective in this particular election cycle. He is so seriously damaged. And I would add to that, they should run against Bush-Cheney, because Bush, of course, is in the mid-30s of his approval rating, and Darth Dick has set a new world record in American politics. He should get the gold medal with only an 18% approval rating.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. That's even lower than where Newt Gingrich was. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
I do agree with what you're saying. I absolutely do think that the Democrats need to galvanize an issue that'll turn people out at the polls in November, and impeachment is it. People are sick of Bush and Cheney. They've seen the man behind the curtain, and they didn't like what they saw. Look at Hurricane Katrina. Now we have the video evidence. You have Brownie, and I feel kind of sorry for Brownie. I said a lot of harsh things about him, but now it seems like he was telling the truth. He was the scapegoat.
It did look like he was on duty and wasn't worried about how he looked or, what he was going to wear. And he given his lacking of competence overall,
right.
The videotape was flattering to him.
Yeah, he looked like at least he cared about the situation, which is how much more you can say about the president. Bush sat there, didn't ask any questions the day before, and was told that these levees might go and that he held the Superdome may even collapse. He didn't ask any questions. He looked like he was bored, like he didn't even want to be there. And as far as I'm concerned, if George Bush doesn't want to do his job, he should quit it.
Well, he just likes the vacation benefits because, as Commander-in-Chief, he gets to choose how long his vacation is each year. It's, not written into the job description. Hey, Jake, I wanted to mention one other thing relative to impeachment. This week, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors joined Santa Cruz and Humboldt counties in passing resolutions supporting impeachment. And in the newspaper, in the Chronicle, we've seen a lot of negative reaction from conservative Democrats who just think this one woman who I like, Joan Ryan, is a columnist for the Chronicle, and today she referred to this action as like the goth kid in a high school class just kind of being petulant. And I really find that offensive because, it is written into our Constitution that if the federal mechanisms do not serve the public, that state and local government organs have the right to petition Washington to address their grievances. And so there's nothing out of line. It's not like having a foreign policy position for a city council. There's nothing out of line for the San Francisco City and County Board of Supervisors to pass a resolution supporting impeachment. And I'm shocked that in a city that prides itself on its progressive values that, major figures have separated themselves from this effort instead of embracing it.
Yeah, unfortunately, there are a few conservative Democrats out there who aren't looking out for the best interests of the party. They're just looking out for their own best interests.
Yeah. And, Jake, I want to commend you for tipping me off about Capitol Hill Blue and the details about just how drunk it appears Dick Cheney was at the ranch in Texas there when he shot his buddy.
Yeah, apparently he was stumbling drunk, the kind of drunk where you can shoot a guy in an orange jacket and think you were shooting quail. Real drunk.
And I want people to read it for themselves. Read the post at Capitol Hill Blue, and then read the second post from Doug Thompson, the publisher there. And I think that you'll say, this could be true. So
yeah,
we'll see if the media will actually air this out or bury it like so many other things. Thank you, Jake.
Thanks, Peter.
Next, we go to Scott in Carmel Valley. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Peter, how are you doing?
Doing fine.
Hey, Peter, I'm frustrated because when we start talking about Democrats this and Democrats that, you know, the Mississippi legislature just recently passed the most stringent law against abortion in the United States, correct?
Joining South Dakota, we now have two states that have passed laws that are fully intended to go to the U.S. Supreme Court and test the new members to see if they will follow through on their pro-life positions. And we saw the letter that was leaked that Justice Alito, the newest right-wing justice, sent to James Dobson at Focus on the Family, thanking him for the support during the confirmation and with an oblique promise to remember support.
That's disgusting. And by the way, both the introducing legislatures are Democrats in South Dakota and in Mississippi. A woman Democrat in South Dakota introduced the legislation, and a male Democrat in Mississippi introduced the legislation.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I was shocked when I saw who the sponsoring the premier writer of the legislation. Both were Democrats.
Wow.
I thought it was a misprint, but it wasn't.
Well, so this is why I do the show. I learn from people like you, Scott.
There should be California Democrats and then all the rest.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, and we will be covering this in the near future. We've invited some folks to comment on these developments in trying to eliminate a woman's right of choice. Harvey in Eureka, thanks for your call. You're on the air on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, yes. I wanted to bring out two historical incidents. One is that Andrew Johnson was impeached by a Republican Congress, and he was a Republican. Of course, the impeachment failed in the Senate. And also, I wanted to point out that Richard Nixon was not impeached, and he was forced to leave.
Well, he resigned in the face of imminent impeachment.
Yes, but he was not actually impeached.
No, you are correct. And
so,
we need to use the language correctly, because the special committee that was set up to investigate Watergate was going to refer charges to the House that would have produced a trial in the Senate. And Nixon resigned rather than let the process go forward.
Yes, and all the major Republicans were turning against Nixon. So that was decisive. And so I think there's more hope than there's hope.
We've seen a few examples, Harvey, where the Republicans repudiated the Harriet Myers nomination. Republicans have been rather vocal in criticizing the administration for the Katrina failed response. And we've seen on both the ports issue with Dubai and on the NSA spying issue that there are some Republicans who have principles and stand up and speak on their behalf. But we still don't have what I see as the critical nexus of principled Republicans who understand the need for impeachment at this time.
Well, we need a groundswell from the public. I mean, that's the essential thing right now.
Harvey, thanks. I want to squeeze in one more call. It's Bob in Carmel Valley. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Hello, Peter.
Go right ahead, sir. 1 minute.
My question is we need to focus a little bit more on the environmental issues. Not supporting the Kyoto Convention is just outrageous. And with all the other problems Bush has generated, polarizing the entire world, polarizing our society, he's also destroying the future for our grandchildren. And there's not enough discussion on that from what I can tell.
I think you're right about that, Bob. I do think Kyoto was complex and flawed in many respects, but that doesn't mean that the U.S. A, should have repudiated it the way it did, or B, should ignore the issue, because we don't have to sign the Kyoto Treaty to take significant steps to reduce our emissions and reduce the human impact on climate change, global warming. Bob, I'm out of time. Thanks for your call.
Thanks
for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Let's all saddle up. And I'll see you here tomorrow at 3.
Yeah.
happy trails.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Malieno. It's the last thing military planners in Iraq want, the last thing the administration in Washington needs, a massive terrorist attack in Iraq. But CBS News National Security Correspondent David Martin says plans for such have been uncovered by U.S. intelligence.
U.S. officials tell the CBS News that U.S. intelligence has picked up reports that al-Qaeda in Iraq is planning what one source calls the Big Bang, a spectacular terrorist attack somewhere in Iraq against either a single high-profile target or multiple targets simultaneously. Pentagon officials are also worried that a terrorist spectacular would undermine administration claims for progress in Iraq and weaken public support for the war at home. David Martin, CBS News, the Pentagon.
Jeff McCausland's a retired Army colonel and CBS News military consultant.
The maximum effort will be made by the U.S. military forces in cooperation with the Iraqi military forces to ensure that the most significant individuals and the significant shrines and holy places to both the Sunnis and the Shias are as secured as possible to foil this type of attempt.
Already, all vehicle traffic's been banned in Baghdad beginning at daybreak. The Indian government, in spite of a nuclear weapons program, in spite of testing nuclear weapons, has never signed on to the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. And President Bush in India this week is touting the side agreement worked out between New Delhi and Washington.
It's one that'll help both our peoples.
I'm Mark Knoller in New Delhi. The deal took 8 months to negotiate. It means that for the first time in 30 years, India will allow its civilian nuclear power program to be subject to international safeguards and monitoring. In exchange, President Bush will ask Congress to change the law that forbids nuclear assistance to India because it hasn't signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty.
And that's good, sort of. The U.S. ambassador to the U.N. says India has not broken any international nuclear rules because it never signed on to an international nuclear treaty. In the U.S. Senate today, no real surprise, but notable just the same.
The yeas are 89, the nays are 10. The conference report is agreed to.
CBS News Capitol Hill correspondent Bob Fuss says passed was the revised Patriot Act.
The overwhelming final vote, 89 to 10, came at the end of a long and